Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, brothers and sisters, and I thank you for joining in today. We're going to go back into our study of fear and the fear of the Lord. Fear and fear of the Lord in our ABCs of Christian Growth. It's the third study in the ABCs, and it's the third letter F study. We've been probably three classes through this already. Let me get my marbles in line here, and we'll go on with this study. But we've been three classes in this study already, and we found quite a bit out about what the Scriptures have to say concerning fear and fear of the Lord. We've defined fear in many different ways and seen different ways that the Scriptures talk about fear. We began our study with the causes of fear, some causes of fear. I'm sure there are many more, but the ones that we went over, for instance, fear is caused by disobedience, remember, and impending judgment, for sure, and by persecution. And we backed all this up and illustrated it with Scripture, that the Scriptures do teach these things. Well, fear is caused by the events of nature. We've seen that, and we know that personally. I mean, it don't take anybody real smart to be scared of a hurricane or scared of a tornado or a tsunami or something like that, but especially when it's driven by the Lord and chasing you. But fear is caused by suspicion, uncertainty, and final events, and by death. And fear is caused by our enemies. Our enemies like to give us a hard time and like to try to keep you scared. That's one thing that the enemy tries to do, is to scare you, to weaken you, and to get you not to mind the Lord or do as good as you could for the Lord. Fear is a terrible thing as far as being scared and the things that we've been over, the causes of it. But fear is not terrible in all of its aspects. Today we're going to go into another category of fear, the effects of fear. The effects of fear. How does fear affect people or affect anybody for that matter? Well, the first thing is fear demoralization. Demoralization is an effect of fear. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, it lowers people's spirits. It makes people downhearted. It demoralizes people. The government's real good about that. And armies and forces that challenge one another are real good about that. They try to scare people and scare the other side, you know, and use deception to try to scare people or masses, you know, great big giant armies to scare the dickens out of somebody and demoralize them, take their spirit away from them, and cause them to be downhearted and fear. We see that in the Scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 5 through 8. Listen to what the Scripture says. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. Now listen to this. 30,000 chariots. Can you imagine that? 30,000 chariots. 30,000 chariots. Now, if I got my understanding right, I could be wrong. It's just 30,000 chariots, say, with two horses. Two horses would be a lot. But from what I understand, some of these chariots were big enough that 10 horses drew those chariots and 10 men rode in the chariots or so. Something of that nature. It could have been that. I'm not sure. I don't know. But 30,000 is quite a bit of chariots. Listen to this. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, I mean, they're looking at this army and for the people were distressed. Well, I guess so. You look at an army like that coming at you. My, oh my. Then the people did hide themselves. Listen to this. This is what fear did to them. They see this army coming. They see these 30,000 chariots coming and 6,000 horsemen. And most wars back then were fought on the foot by sword, hand-to-hand combat. And if you happen to have to fight a horseman, well, you're in trouble then. Somebody coming at you with a horse, you know. But these people had 6,000 horsemen and plus all the people that were footmen that would fight. It said, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets, excuse me, and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And so the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. You see the condition of the people and what fear does? A big old army like that comes at you. And it don't just have to be an army. It could be, you know, well, like we was talking about, the events of nature and just anything that comes at you like that. But it demoralizes you. It scares the dickens out of you. A big old tsunami comes in and just washes away. And if you've seen any of those, it is incredible, the power of water. But comes in, I mean, picks those buildings up, no matter what you got, picks them up and washes them miles and miles and miles in. And then when that thing draws back out, it sucks everything off the land and takes it out to sea. So if you happen to survive the incoming wash, then when that thing starts going back out to sea, if you ain't got a hold of something, it's going to suck you right out in the ocean, and you're going out into the sea. I mean, that's a scary thing. It could lower your spirit a bit and make you downhearted, especially even if you survive it and it's all over with, and seeing this big army coming at you, and after all, everything's all over with and everything's all destroyed, well, what do we do now? You know, fear. Fear. That's an effect of fear, is demoralization. It demoralizes people. That's how it affects them. And it affects, I mean, even governments and corrupt governments. And just like the United States government right now and all of our high, dignified leaders that we have up in and some of them are. I do respect some of them, but the ones we got high public officials, presidents, people running for president, nominees, that are cussing one another out and talking trash on each other in front of a nation that they want to lead, and they're supposed to be an example of morals. And an example of somebody that's dignified and somebody that's got their sense and got some sense about them and walks a straight line, you know. But these people are, I mean, there's stuff that people, your high dignified, the people that we're supposed to respect and follow, are up there worse than a stinking bum in the gutter over there. How bums fight it out, you know. I mean, just some of the demoralizes fear, and the government will demoralize and scare the dickens out of you, try to, that is, and demoralize people. One effect of fear is demoralization. Well, what else? Well, paralysis. It won't just demoralize you; it'll stow you up. It'll paralyze you. Fear will paralyze you. There's examples all over the scriptures of people getting stopped in their stinking tracks and I mean just frozen in time from fear. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 through 4. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it was to dawn toward the first day of the week, This is around the resurrection time. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And if you remember proper, that during this particular time right here, the priests had talked the Roman governor into setting up a guard around that sepulcher, so saying that somebody had come and steal the body and this, that, and the other. So there was Roman soldiers around there guarding that place. And listen to this. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Became as dead men. In other words, they couldn't move, function, anything. It was as if they were dead. They were scared so bad. It paralyzed them. It paralyzed them. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not." You see what caused him to be as dead? Because he was fearing. And the Lord told him, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Praise his wonderful name." Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Paralysis. Talking about effects of fear. Well, it demoralizes people. Demoralization is an effect of fear. Paralysis is an effect of fear. It'll freeze you up tight. I mean, even doesn't even have to be an army coming at you. It doesn't have to be an angel coming from heaven with an earthquake. It doesn't have to be seeing the Lord. I mean, there are things, I mean, respectfully, but there are things on this earth that will scare you bad enough to where, you ever heard of, what is it, fight or flight? But that there's another part of that. It's freeze, fight, or flight. Because there is some things that will scare you bad enough to where you will just stop. You'll stop to function. You will just freeze. You'll freeze. You'd be as if you were paralyzed. Fear. Fear. And there's another one. A silent testimony is an effect of fear. And so what do you mean, Brother TV? Well, you won't speak out as much as you probably would if you were not scared. If you had liberty to speak about your testimony and liberty to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and liberty to speak about your belief and your trust in the Lord and the mighty things that the Lord's done for you. There are countries as we speak right now that if they open their mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in trouble, big trouble. That's not happened yet in the United States, but it's coming. It's coming. And it's not happened yet, and they're not publicly, I mean, they are publicly blaspheming the Lord's name and blaspheming people that stand up, and it's more like a boxing match right now, but it's going to get to where it's not even going to be in the ring no more. You start talking about the Lord, and you start publicly proclaiming the Lord and the Word of God, they're going to take you out. They're going to take you down. They're going to silence you. And they have already. They have. This is not something that's going to happen. It's something that is happening. It's just not as prevalent as it is in other places yet. Yet. Okay, but, I mean, you got to expect that when a country kicks the Lord out and kicks his word out. And that's what the United States has done. It's kicked the Lord out, and we don't want you here no more. We don't want your word here. Get out. And the Lord said, okie dokie. And that's what he done. He backed off. And you see the results of a country and its people just by the Lord backing off. The Lord's not causing all these troubles. The Lord was preventing all these troubles from happening. And when you told him to get lost and turn the shoulder to him and the heel up to him, then man does what man does naturally. And wickedness prevails. God the Holy Ghost is the one that hinders that stuff. You see, and the Word of God. And when you put them out, you ain't got no protection no more. It's man against man. It's Darwinism. And the strong and the fittest, you know, and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Silent testimony. The Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse 19 through 23, listen to this. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. You see, silence your testimony. Instead of standing up and saying, man, praise God, he's been 40 years blind and we know it. And yes, Christ did it. Christ opened his eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ opened his eyes as a miracle. Instead of saying that to the Jews, they were scared of the Jews putting them out of the synagogue and disassociating them from anything that was religious and Jewish there, you know. So they kept quiet. And they said, ask him. Ask him. It silenced your testimony for fear. Fear of the Jews. Them Jews were mad when Jesus was crucified, boy, and especially when he resurrected, and them Roman soldiers come and gave that report to them that of what they seen, and they paid them big money to keep their mouths shut. A silent testimony. John chapter 19, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He was the one that came to the Lord, and the Lord told him, you must be born again. And he said, how do you're a leader in Israel, and you don't know these things? I mean, he was quiet. He was quiet, but he was a hot shot, and he was big. He was big business with them Jews, but he was a believer, but he kept quiet. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, and they got his body and went and took care of it respectfully as the Jews did. A silent testimony. A silent testimony. And brothers and sisters, I mean, you might as well, I mean, there's no shame in, there's shame in being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no shame in being shamed for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the world tries to do, is shame you for being affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to. They're going to. I mean, it might not happen everywhere you go, and some people are glad that there's always somebody around the corner that will thank you for mentioning the Lord's name and having a scripture up or something like that to show that the Lord is still around and His Word is still around and it encourages people. But there are others that are going to try to silence it, and they're going to try to do it by fear. And it might not have nothing to do with religion. They might come at you trying to silence you through some other avenue, but in their heart, they're trying to shut you up and make you scared because of your testimony and try to silence that testimony. Yep. That's fear. The effects of fear. Okay, all right. Well, there's the effects of fear. Now, let's move into some and see where there are some instances in the Scripture where people that we know in the Scriptures actually feared. Let's see if anybody did fear in the Scripture. Was there anybody in the Scriptures that feared and the Bible teaches us that they feared? Why, yes, there are. Let's see a few of them. Well, first of all, Abraham feared. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will say, Thee alive. In other words, you're so pretty, they're going to kill me and take you. So he told her to say he's his sister, which is a half-truth, which was a lie, but it was a half-truth. But Abraham feared. And the funny thing about this thing with these Jewish women, they must have been some beautiful women or something, but this thing didn't just happen with Abraham. I mean, it went down through Isaac and Jacob and the same instance about fearing because of their wives being so pretty. And they're scared of dying because they had pretty wives. And Abraham feared that. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 2, it says, And Abraham said to Sarai, his wife, She is my sister, said of Sarah, his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah, just like Abraham thought he would do. And Abimelech said unto Abraham later on in verse 10, as we read down, that was verse 2, and as you go through the chapter in the process of Abimelech having Sarah and the Lord speaking to Abimelech and saying, You touch that woman and you're a dead man. And Abimelech got back to Abraham. He said, And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And Abraham rebuked him and then blessed him, and then he was minding the Lord. See, even the heathen minded the Lord and feared God back then. God told him, He said, You touch that woman, I'll kill you, and I'll kill your children, and I'll kill everything you got. And he gave Abraham his wife back. And he rebuked Sarah and rebuked her. And everything was fine from then on. But Abraham feared. Abraham feared. And he feared dying. But he did fear. All right, let's move on. There's another one. Isaac, his son. Well, it was almost a duplication of the exact thing Abraham. Isaac must have seen that thing because he married a pretty woman too. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 26, verse 6 through 11. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of that place asked him of his wife. And he said, She's my sister. For he feared to say, She's my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidest thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. See how them heathen was? They was even moral, more moral than some Christians nowadays. You see that thing? And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. But Isaac feared. That's why, I don't know, you know, but marrying a pretty woman ain't always the best thing for a fella, I guess. You get you a wife that's got a beautiful heart, you know, and a virtuous woman. And these fellas here, they had fair women, beautiful on the outside too. They were pretty to look at. But sometimes when you ask for a beautiful woman, the Lord gives you one with a beautiful heart, and she might have a face like a red bone hound, but. But got a beautiful heart, you know. So you just don't know, do you? Isaac feared. Abraham feared. You know, there's people in the scriptures that feared. We're talking about fear. We're studying fear. Who else? Well, Jacob. Jacob feared. Jacob feared. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 to 11. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, all the truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. That was when Jacob was coming home. And it had been a while, and Jacob done got him two wives and a whole bunch of kids, and he's coming back. And he's fixing him. He finds out that Esau finds out he's coming, and Esau comes out with a group of with a whole bunch of men coming, and Jacob's scared. He's scared he's gonna come kill him. And but we know through the scriptures that turned out that the Lord turned that thing, and that everything turned out beautiful. And that was when Jacob left his father-in-law, Laban. And took his wives, and he feared. He feared. I mean, fear is not just something that's in this age. Fear is all through the scriptures. There's instances of fear in the scriptures. Abraham feared. Isaac feared. Jacob feared. Here's some more. The soldiers feared. You figure a soldier fearing? Why, yes. We read that just a minute ago in Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, talking about looking at Jesus and watching him on that cross, and the darkness and the earthquake and the things that were going on, all the events that were going on right at in time, as he stood out there, it said, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, that brought them to a confession, brother, sister. I mean, they stood out there and watched all that thing, and they seen Jesus' behavior. They seen what he said. They heard the conversations he had with those men that were hung up beside him. And the things that he said when he spoke from the cross, and how he died, and then how the environment behaved, and the earthquake, and how the priests were behaving, and I mean just everything that was going on. And that brought a confession out of him, or out of them. It said, they greatly feared. they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, and scripturally, he believed on the Lord then, and the New Testament was underway, and Jesus had died, and he hadn't ascended back to the Father yet, and that's the process through the book of Acts, how he showed up the New Testament and the New Covenant, but that was a process, but as far as him dying, the payment had been made. I mean, he had died. He said, it's finished. So according to the scriptures, this fellow here said truly with his own mouth. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And out of his own mouth, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. So he might have been one of Jesus's first people of the church, of the church that we belong to, the bride of Christ. I don't know, but it said they greatly feared. They feared greatly. Talking about fear, the soldiers feared. Who else feared? Well, Saul. Saul feared. Saul was a warrior, man. I mean, he fought, but and was known for it, and his son Jonathan was, and so was David around that time and all of them. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, excuse me, 24, it says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Remember when the Lord told him, said, you go over there and I want you to war against those, I think it was the Amalekites. Go over and war against them. And I could be wrong. Don't hold me on that. I think that's who that was. But anyway, he told him, go over there and kill them. Kill every one of them. Man, woman, child, dog, cat, animals, oxen, mules, jackasses, everything. Kill everything. And don't take nothing. But when they got there, they won the war, but the people started wanting to take some spoil and take some stuff that was in pretty good shape. You know, why kill all these animals? I mean, we can bring these animals back and sacrifice them to the Lord. That was their excuse, but we know better. We know better. But Saul listened to all that mess. And when he listened to it, he said he feared the people and obeyed their voice rather than the Lord's commandment, and to do what he told him to do, do what God told him to do. So that caused a lot of trouble in the scriptures later on for a lot of people, because he didn't wipe them out like the Lord told him to. But Saul feared. He feared people. He feared the people, even when God told him to do what he told him to do. He feared the people. Talking about fear, instances of fear. Who feared? Abraham feared. Isaac feared. Jacob feared. The soldiers feared. Saul feared. And not only that, Jesus' disciples feared. We see several circumstances in the scriptures concerning Jesus' disciples, and you'd think that if anybody wasn't going to be scared, it would be the ones that were closest to the Lord, but that's not true. That's not true. There were many instances in the scriptures where the Lord helped them out whenever they were scared. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22 through 27, the scripture says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, which is probably about 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, while it's still dark, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." They weren't respectfully reverent when it come to fearing. They were afraid, man. That's what Jesus told them. Said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." They were scared. They feared. I mean, if you're out in a ship and you see somebody walking on the water, there's a couple things that just ain't supposed to be happening. People don't walk on water. And if it's a spirit, we're out here on a boat in water, and there's a spirit walking on water, it's got more power. I mean, I can imagine what was going through their minds. Fear. Fear is a funny thing, isn't it? Fear itself is powerful, powerful, powerful. That's why we got to know what the scriptures say about fear, and we got to believe the scriptures and memorize the scriptures and know what the Lord says, so that when we come upon circumstances in our lives and things in our lives, the devil won't have control and the world won't have control and our flesh won't have control of how we fear or not fear. You see? And that's hard. That's easy to say. But it ain't easy to do in today's society with all the fear-driven, hogwash, poppycock nonsense that's in the world today. This world is driven by fear, man. You got bill collectors, you got people writing you before you even, or texting you, or emailing you before you even owe them any money, saying, "You're going to be late if you don't make your payment in 10 days. That's fear, man. That's fear. This world is driven and operated and functions by fear. But fear is a real thing. Fear is a real thing. All right. Well, what have we talked about today? We've talked about the effects of fear, that it demoralizes. It demoralizes people. It lowers your spirits and gets you downhearted and takes away your drive and just however else it can do it. But it demoralizes people and even armies. Not just one person, but many people. That's why people like to gather in, come together and have unity and all this, that, and the other. All the ungodly, they like to get in crowds because it makes them feel more powerful. Because the fear factor kind of vanishes whenever you got lots and lots and lots of people. Because people are more bolder to do and say things when they're in a crowd, you see. But it demoralizes. It paralyzes. Fear will stop you in your tracks and make you freeze, depending on what it is. It will. I mean, before we got all these killing, bloody video games and all this stuff that these last couple generations have been watching and seeing murders and 9 bazillion murders before they even reach the age of 13. And then all this sex and ungodly perversion that they're being taught in schools and things like that and to hate God and to love sin and all this nonsense. Fear. A silent testimony. Talking about the effects of fear. the effects of fear. You know, the things that used to would paralyze somebody, that would make somebody stop in their tracks, like for instance watching somebody get murdered or hacked up or somebody killing somebody or something like that, or the things of war that would make I can imagine that was one of the problems in wartime, was men freezing up and dying unnecessarily because of the things, the crazy whacked things that you see during wartime. And now you see it in the streets of America. And the children are seeing things that normally would stop you in your tracks and scare you to where you're paralyzed. But now, I mean, they just walk on by. A silent testimony is an effect of fear. Whether anybody scared in the scriptures or feared in the scriptures? Yes. Abraham feared. Isaac feared. Jacob feared. The soldiers feared. Saul feared. And the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples feared. And there were others. There are others. But we see that there are instances in the scriptures where fear is a real thing, and that even some of the most, some of the fathers of the faith, some of the most courageous men, and some of the heroes of the faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, I think it is, where the wall of faith in there, with all those heroes in there, how they had faith and the Lord bragged on them and put them in His eternal word. They feared. You see the Lord always in the scriptures. I mean, that's something that you read when you study the scriptures, and you see when the Lord deals with many, many people, women, men, children, crowds, nations, and all other things. You see many places where the Lord tells them, fear not. And He wouldn't have to tell them that if they weren't scared or fearing. Instances of fear. Many people fear. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop right there because we're going to have a break in our study and move from just the individual study of fear itself to fear of the Lord, to fear of the Lord. And we'll start that on our next study, okay? So far, what have we been talking about? We've defined fear. And when we began, we talked about the causes of fear, just fear itself, not the fear of the Lord. And then we came across the effects of fear, which we started today when we began our study today and ended with instances of fear in the scriptures. The scriptures is not foreign to the word fear, or people that fear, or causes of fear, or instances of fear. It's all over the scriptures, and we've read them. So that's good stuff, huh? Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today, and we'll stop there, and we'll pick up on our next one, and we'll begin to talk about the fear of the Lord. The study is entitled Fear and the Fear of the Lord. Fear and Fear of the Lord. We'll begin Fear of the Lord on our next recording, our next study, our next class. I don't know what to call it. When we come together. Here's the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. John chapter 19, verse 38 through 39. Genesis chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Genesis chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 10 through 12. Genesis chapter 26, verse 6 through 11. Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 through 11. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 27 is our last scripture that we've read out of God's Word today and studied. Okay, so there we go. The fear and fear of the Lord. And we've been studying about fear. And when we come together on our next one, we'll talk about fear of the Lord and see where our study carries us, and scripturally defining the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? What is fear of the Lord? And we'll scripturally define that when we come together again, okay? All right. Well, God bless you for studying. Thank you for loving the Lord. I love Him myself. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And the more that we serve Him and the more we study His Word, the more we love Him. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever, ever quit. And I know the devil's trying to talk you into quitting and talk you into all kind of mess. He always is. But don't you do it. You stick with the Lord and be faithful and stick with His Word. God bless you for that. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.